We're continuing the Shir in Sichas Aran. We're up to paragraph Shin Hei, 305. And we're actually very close to the finish. I believe that in the next Shir, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to make a Siyam on Sichas Aran. The only reason why we won't be able to do it in this Shir is because the last few paragraphs in the Sichas Aran have enormous wealth of information, of advice, of precious things that I hope we're not going to skimp on, Mitzvah Shem. In this paragraph, Rav Nosenthal writes that there were many times when Rabbeinu Zal made a comment like the one we're about to quote when he was talking to me, whereby Rabbeinu Zal said, Mohot gornit tzuton. A person doesn't have to do anything. And Rav Nosenthal writes that in our Sforim, we discuss this many times in many different ways. And this is also mentioned in the Gemara in Menachos, where the Gemara says that the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they once said, Divrei Torah lo yihyu olecha chayva, that religion should not be an obligation to a person. A person shouldn't take an attitude, I have to do this, I have to go to shul, I have to learn, that type of attitude. Ve'iyato reshoi lifter atzmecha mehen. And at the same time, you can't not do it. On one hand, there's a lot to do. And on the second hand, the person's attitude is not supposed to be that there's so much that I have to do. There are times when a person doesn't enjoy what they're doing, or they feel overwhelmed by what they're doing, that a person uses this kind of wording, I have so much to do, and I have to do it, that kind of expression, which sort of puts a damper on it. It shows that it's not really something fantastic. When a person has to go pick up $1 million that they won in a lottery, they don't say, I have to go. They say, I can't wait to go. I'm dying to go. I wish it happens to me. And the same thing is when it comes to serving Hashem, person has to watch the kind of wording that they use, number one, and number two, to understand what kind of attitude Hashem wants us to have. And Rav Nosenthal says, V'hu etza niflo l'mi shemevino ma'at. This is an unbelievable piece of advice for someone who understands it a little bit, who understands a little bit what's meant by what we just said. This statement, when I learned it myself, I felt that I didn't understand it, and I had the privilege of calling Reb Michal Shlita, one of the Zakenim of Breslov today, and to ask him to see exactly how he would explain it, how he would explain exactly what Rabbeinu Zal meant by this, to say that mohod gornit satan, that a person doesn't have to do anything. And he spoke about it when I asked him, and he explained it to a large degree, and we hope to include some of that explanation in what we're going to cover now. The Gemara that Rav Nosenthal refers to in this paragraph related to Rabbi Shmuel is a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Tzadik Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara there is discussing the topic of the Lechem Haponim. The Lechem Haponim was a very special type of miracle bread that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. It was on the Shulchan, on a special table in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah says about it that this bread is supposed to be before Hashem always. Lefonai Tomid. Hashem said this bread should be there 100% of the time. And the Gemara discusses how is this possible when we know that each and every single week they had to change it. They had to put new bread out. There was a miracle that the bread lasted on the table for a full week without any freezers, without any preservatives. It lasted, it stayed perfectly fresh for an entire week. But we know that the Torah does tell us that they changed it every week. If they had to change it, then it implies obviously there was a moment or there was some period of time when the bread wasn't on the table. Why does the Torah use this wording, lefonai tomid, that the bread should be there all the time? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, afilu elu neitlin ve elu manichin af hi hoisa tomid. Even if we say that there were kohanim who removed the old bread, and there were different set of kohanim who put down the new bread, and there was an interruption, as long as for a part of the time the bread was on the table, that's also called tomid. When we say a person is doing something constantly, it doesn't have to mean he's doing it 24 hours a day, 100% of the time. As long as a person is doing something a lot, quite often we'll use this word always. You're always telling me this kind of thing. Always doesn't have to mean 24 hours a day. As long as a person is doing it for a serious amount of time, this word tomid still applies. This is what Rabbi Yossi says regarding the Lechem Aponim. The Gemara comments on this, and the Gemara says, Midvorov shel Rabbi Yossi nilmoid, that from the words of Rabbi Yossi regarding this Lechem Aponim, we could learn a very important lesson that applies to every single Jew about learning Torah and about serving Hashem. And this is the lesson. The Gemara says that afilu loishono odom elo perek echod shachris uperek echod arvis, that even if a Jew only learns one little paragraph of Torah in the morning and one little paragraph at night, kiyem mitzvas lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, the person gets 100% full credit for being mekayim the mitzvah lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. Hashem spoke to Yehoshua and to the Jewish people, and Hashem said to them, I don't want the Torah to ever leave your lips, which implies that a Jew has a chiyuv 24 hours a day to be learning Torah, not to interrupt for 1 second. That would seem to be the simple pshat in the pasuk. But based on how Rabbi Yossi understood the meaning of this word lefonai tomid regarding the shulchan, regarding the lechem aponim, just like over there, Rabbi Yossi was able to understand that as long as it's there for a moment, you already covered the tomid, because even a minute is part of the whole unit of time. A minute is part of an hour. A minute is part of a day. So sometimes, if a person does something for a minute, the Gemara has a rule, miktsas hayoim kikuloi. For example, when it comes to avelus, we know that when a Jew passes away, one of a person's 7 closest relatives, there's a requirement of keeping 7 days of serious mourning for that person. We know that in fact, in practice, the halacha, the way it's kept today, is that they keep 6 days plus a drop. Now the question is, why a drop? Right after Shacharis, early in the morning, as soon as they daven the Shacharis of the 7th day, that's when the Shiva is over. The question is why? Jews know how to tell time, and we're not looking to skimp on Hashem. If the Torah says 7 days, why don't we fulfill 7 days? The answer is there's a concept in Yiddishkeit of miktsas kikuloi, that sometimes we say that a little bit is also very good. There are times that a little bit is considered as good as the whole item. And here we see technically halacha, a person gets credit for keeping 7 days of mourning, even if they kept 6 days and a few minutes. We find the same halacha holds true, rachmono litzlon. If a person passes away late in the day, and the person is buried late in the afternoon, and the family comes home from the cemetery, and they're able to sit for a half hour before it gets dark outside, that half hour gives them credit for having sat a full day of Shiva, Rachmona Litzlon. Why? Because we see that in the Torah, there is a concept of this little bit that can give a person credit for a whole. So the Gemara says that this we learn out from Rabbi Yossi, that if a person is zeicha to learn Torah for a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes in the night, the person was mekayim the posuk lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, that the Torah should never leave your lips. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi Zal, afilu loy koro odom elo kriyas shma shachris vi arvis kiyem loyomush. Not even if a person didn't take out a Gemara or a Medrash or a Shulchan Aruch. If a Jew said Kriya Shema in the morning and at night, the Jew was mekayim the mitzvah of lo yomush sefer haTorah zeh mipicha. By the fact that he did a little bit in the morning, a little bit by day, a little bit by night, Hashem gives him credit as if he was zeicha to study Torah 24 hours a day. V'davar zeh osur la'imroi b'fnei hama'aretz. However, don't you dare tell this to amaratzim, to people that don't like to learn. Because they'll take full advantage of this. Oh, great. I can be a complete tzaddik and a perfect Talmud Chacham and a perfect success and a big shot just based on the fact that I said Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema at night. Watch who you tell it to, because some people will use this to hurt themselves. They're not going to hurt other people. They're going to take advantage of this in a way where they're going to be hurting themselves. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. The Rava Omar, whereas Rava said, mitzvah la'oimroi b'fnei amoritz. On the contrary, you say not to tell this to the people that aren't so religious? I say the opposite. I say, tell it to them. Tell them that the Torah is so special, that Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael is so big, that if a Jew is zeichet to study Torah, to say Kriya Shema in the morning at night, Hashem loves that so much, and Hashem respects it so much, that Hashem gives the person credit as if they learned Torah all day. If the person has one iota of brains, he'll get the hint. He won't be silly enough to settle for Shema. If that's what Shema does, if a dollar can buy me so much, then you don't have to ask me if I'm interested in $1,000,000. I'll be more than happy to accept it. If a person knows that Hashem's attitude towards saying Kriya Shema in the morning and at night is like this, an Amoritz will get the message. He'll get the hint, and he'll start learning serious. Rashi HaKodesh says, Mitzvah La'Oimroi, The first Rashi on what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, Osir lo imroi, you're not allowed to say this, Shelo yoimar b'kriya shma sagi, so that the Amoritz shouldn't say, oh, fine, I was yaitza, I said kriya shma, it's enough, v'lo yargil bonov l'talmud Torah, and he won't get his kids in the habit of spending a few hours a day learning, because he'll figure with kriya shma he's covered. Whereas Ravo said the opposite, mitzvah lo imroi, the sovar, Mishum Kriya Shema Noitel Schar Godel Kazeh, an Amoritz will see that for saying Kriya Shema, you get so much credit. Hashem is so big. Hashem is such a sport. And he loves the tiniest mitzvah that a person does that he'll stretch it so far. Ki oz tatzliach es drochecho, and that from that alone, from saying Shema in the morning and at night with Kavona, Hashem will give you Hatzlocha for that. Then imagine if a person will learn Torah all day, imagine how much Hashem will bless that person. And this Amoritz will instill in his children a love for learning Torah. If you'll teach him this attitude, if you'll make mitzvahs big for him, if you'll make a big deal out of the tiniest mitzvah he does, he won't take it the wrong way, he'll take it the right way. And he'll understand that if that's what one mitzvah buys me, if that's what giving $10 to tzedakah gives, then I don't want to give no $10, I want to give $1,000. I want to give more. This is the attitude that Rava says. Now the Gemara continues. Shoal ben Doima ben Achoisoi sho Rabbi Shmuel es Rabbi Shmuel. One of the nephews of Rabbi Shmuel once asked him, Kigoin ani, somebody like me, shelamadati kol hatoira kula, I who am zeiche to be thoroughly knowledgeable in the entire Torah, I've learned the entire Chumash and the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, I've learned all of Shas, all of Shulchan Aruch, all the secrets of Torah, mahu lilmoid chochmas yevonis. Is it okay for me now to study a little philosophy, to leave the Torah? I feel that I've gotten everything I want to get out of the Torah. Is it okay now for me to look into other books which also have knowledge and wisdom, and I'll be able to even broaden my scope of knowledge? Permissible or forbidden? The Gemara says, Koro olov hamikro hazeh. So Rabbi Shmuel said to him this pasuk, Lo yomush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mipicha. The pasuk says that the Torah should not leave your mouth for a second. V'higisa boi yoimom volayla. And you should busy yourself with it. A Jew is obligated to busy himself with the Torah day and night. Rabbi Shmuel said, I have a very simple answer for you. Say ubedoik. Go out and find sure she'eno lo yoimen v'loiven alayla ulamoit b'chochmas yivonis. If you can go out and find a time that's not day and that's not night, you have Hashem's permission 100% to go out and play with Chochmas Yevonis. If you can't, if no such thing exists, then you got your answer. You know Hashem is not interested in Chochmas Yevonis. Leave that for the birds. Leave that for the nuts. In the Torah, there's enough to keep you busy for your entire life. If you're looking to get smart, you don't have to go anywhere else. You'll busy yourself. You'll throw yourself into learning. You'll review your learning a second time. You'll find that it's not the same learning. You'll penetrate deeper into the Torah, and you'll be zecha to see that you have what to do here for more than a lifetime. There's no shortage of what to do in the Torah. Upligo de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. And this goes against what Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni said. Each item that we're learning now, we're going to be learning a few different opinions. All of this is going to tie together beautifully to explain what Rabbeinu Zal said. You're going to see when we come to the end how all of this blends in to give us the message that Rabbeinu Zal wanted to get across. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni disagrees with this. The Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbi Yonason, he said, Posuk ze enoy loy choyva veloy mitzvah. This pasuk of lo yomush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha, it's not Hashem putting a gun to your head and saying, listen, Charlie, don't you dare stop learning Torah ever. You have no permission to ever take a break from Torah. That's not what the pasuk means. Veloy mitzvah. And the pasuk isn't even coming to tell you that it's a mitzvah to be learning Torah 24 hours a day. Ela bracha. This pasuk is a bracha. Hashem was giving Yehoshua a bracha. The Gemara says, Ro HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yehoshua, Shedivrei Torah Chavivin Olav B'Yoyser. Hashem took a look at Yehoshua, and Hashem saw who was Yehoshua. If this was Moshe Rabbeinu's best student, let's see what Moshe Rabbeinu's best student was all about. The Gemara says that Hashem saw that by Yehoshua, Divrei Torah Chavivin Olav B'Yoyser, that he loved Torah more than anybody else, tremendously. He had a tremendous love for Torah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, U'mishorsoi Yehoshua Binun, Lo Yomish Mitoicha Oyel. Moshe Rabbeinu's servant, Yehoshua, not his student, his servant, Yehoshua, would not leave his tent. His love for Torah was so big that it wasn't only when his Rebbe was giving a shiur that he made it his business to be there. He understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was a living Torah. Every second I get to spend in his presence, I'm going to be seeing Torah. I'm going to be tasting it with my mouth, with my ears, with my eyes. Every move he makes is going to be Torah. And not only that, but a willingness. His love for Torah was such, some people love Torah to the extent that they're willing to be gracious enough to Hashem to take some of their time that they could be using for doing all kinds of other important things, whether it be sewing, knitting, cooking, eating, sleeping, playing ball, all the different kind of things that a person could do, and he's willing to do Hashem the honor of taking away that time and using it for learning Torah. Fine. How long is the shiur? The shiur is 45 minutes. You won't catch me there a minute before. You won't catch me there 5 minutes after. The second that shiur starts, at best, I'll be there, or 5 minutes late. And the second the shiur is over, there's no purpose to hanging out in a shul. There's no purpose to hanging out with a rabbi. The shiur is over, fine. Back to business as usual. I have my other things to do. The Torah says that Hashem saw that Yehoshua's love for Torah was such that he knew not to leave the Oihel, that any minute he wouldn't leave Moshe Rabbeinu's side unless he was thrown out, unless he was told to go home, unless he had to leave, he would leave. Other than that, this was 24-hour-a-day preoccupation with Torah. This was the only thing that counted. Everything else was baloney. Parnosa was baloney. House was baloney. Food was baloney. This was the most important thing in his life. So Hashem said to him that because you love the Torah so much, therefore I'm giving you a bracha that lo yomush sefer Torah zemi picha. You're going to be zeche that the Torah will never leave you, that you're going to make such a connection, you're going to connect with Torah, with Yiddishkeit so well, that you're never going to fall away from it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had other Talmidim, and the other Talmidim learned a lot, they became Talmidei Chachamim, some of them stayed for a while and left, some of them fell, all different kinds of levels. Hashem said to Yeshua that because your dedication is so serious, it's not a half hour a day kind of deal, but it's a full-time preoccupation with the Torah, with your rabbi, then I'm giving you this bracha that lo yomush sefer Torah zemi picha. Not a chayva, not a mitzvah, but a bracha, a blessing, a gift. Now the Gemara concludes by saying, now we come to the exact statement that Rabbein Azal quoted, that in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel they learned about this, divrei Torah lo yihyu alecha choiva, that the words of Torah should not be like a yoke on a person. It shouldn't be an obligation, duty. There are some people that know that once a month I have to go visit my parents, or I have to make this phone call. It's duty. We know that it's not something that a person loves. It's not something a person waits for anxiously. That if Hashem says this is a mitzvah, I'm dying to do it. I'm biting at the bit. I can't wait till the second I'm allowed to light Hanukkah candles. Person standing there waiting for that first moment when the Torah permits you to do the mitzvah, and the second the clock strikes, tzeis ha-kechavim, boom, he's right there. Because the love for the mitzvah is so special. There's a zrizus. Shul, what time does the shul open? To want to be the first one there. A shir, to want to be the first one there, like Yeshua, to set up the chairs, to make sure there's lights, to make sure all the different things. So Rabbi Shmuel says it shouldn't be a chayva, but at the same time, so if it's not chayva, then it's up to me. If it's not duty, then it's up to me. V'iyato rishoy liftor atzmecha mehen. At the same time, you need to know that you can't close your eyes to them. You can't patter yourself. You can never finish. Liftor atzmecha mehen means also that even if you'll have this love for it, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that you finished. I finished learning, I finished the shir, or I finished davening. Never to take that attitude once a mitzvah is completed that it's done. But on the contrary, to want to hold on to it, to want to have that taste lingering in your mouth. The halacha says that when it comes to the Seder night of Pesach, the matzah mitzvah, to eat that mitzvah is so big a mitzvah. To eat the matzah is so big a mitzvah that after we finish eating the afikoimon, a Jew is supposed to not drink anything else, not eat anything, to prolong the sweet taste of that matzah in your mouth as long as possible. That's this attitude of not wanting to become potter from a mitzvah, not never wanting to get rid of it, never having a feeling that I finished with it, it's done with, that kind of attitude. And this whole combination is what Rabbein Azal presented in this statement, Mahod Gornit Tzitan, that a person should know on one hand, there's nothing that you have to do. Person wants to know how easy Hashem makes religion. Hashem is willing to tell everybody, even the Amaratzim, that you do the tiniest mitzvah, and you're wonderful, you're excellent. We're prepared to give you a credit, an honor certificate, for having learned Torah all day, just for saying Kriya Shema in the morning and at night. That's how extremely good Hashem's chesed is, and Hashem's concept of judging somebody like Kaf Zchus. Person knows this, now you can go out and be makarev people. You see a Baal Tshuva, you're not going to tell him the first time you see him that, listen, you know what religion's all about? It's 24 hours a day learning, and it's mitzvahs head to toe. It's all you need is to tell him that, and you'll scare him away. The person that's why there are many people, thousands of Jews, that haven't become religious yet, because they're afraid. They're afraid that it's too much, that religion is too heavy, that Hashem is too demanding. Those people, the Torah says, you'll tell them this Gemara. You'll tell these Amei Ha'aretz, this Gemara, that Hashem is so good. Hashem isn't looking for a lot from you. Give Hashem the tiniest little bit, and Hashem will love you for it, and Hashem will reward you in the biggest way. That's the advice for a certain period of time, for a certain moment. At the same time, to the tzaddikim, to those that really want to know what it's all about, they know that there were Yehoshuas, that in every generation there are Yehoshuas who are zecha to this bracha of lo yomush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha. They're zecha to a guarantee, just by Rabbeinu Zal. We know Rabbeinu Zal had many talmidim, tzaddikim, yireim, shleimim, many of them whom he taught Torah to, and they grew to become tzaddikim. But in terms of something remaining from them, in terms of them being able to pass this on to their children and to their grandchildren and to see it last 200 years and still be thriving and growing and blossoming, there was a Talmud, a Rav Nosson Zal, who had this kind of attitude, this lo yomush mitoy choyel. We see the way he writes that the second Yontif was over, he couldn't wait, he made a beeline for Rabbeinu Zal's house, even though he knew there were certain times when it was impossible for him to be with Rabbeinu Zal. There were certain times based on his specific circumstances that he had to be with his family or he had to be somewhere else. But you see in his writing that this was his whole preoccupation. During the 8 years that Rabbeinu Zal was alive, 24 hours a day, this was on his mind. And he was craving this. He couldn't wait. And the second the opportunity opened up, the second he came in Rabbeinu Zal's presence, every word was like gold to him. He swallowed every word with a thirst, and he wrote it down, and he wrote it down in his heart, and he spent hours of his Beidus begging Hashem that he shouldn't forget what he's hearing. The first time he came to one of Rabbeinu Zal's shiurim, it's brought, was I believe it was a shalashudis. And Rabbeinu Zal was giving a shiur at the time, and Rabbeinu Zal was giving it with such a dveikus that many of the people there didn't even understand what he was saying. They couldn't make out the words because Rabbeinu Zal was speaking so excitedly and with fire. It's brought that Rav Nosson Zal, I'm sorry, this was on a Friday night, I believe. This was Friday night in shul that Rabbeinu Zal spoke a little bit, and he said something so fiery. It's brought that night, Rav Nosson Zal went up on a mountain, crying to Hashem, saying to Hashem that I see that in Breslov there's burning of fire. I see that there's fire here. Let me be zecha to benefit from this fire. I see that there's a light here, a brilliant light. I have a feeling that this is something that could change my whole life for the better. Let me be zecha to really take advantage of it. And this is where Rabbeinu Zal gave a hischaskus for a person to know that on one hand, it's the easiest thing in the world. A person should never wake up in the morning feeling overwhelmed. There's so many things that I have to do today. I have to daven shachris. I have to be early in shul. I have to learn. I have to do this. And the satan could pervert that into a certain feeling of something that a person really doesn't want or really doesn't enjoy or doesn't love. And Rabbeinu Zal said that that's wrong, that's unhealthy. And at the same time, to be able to understand exactly the kind of attitude that Hashem is looking from us in terms of mitzvahs, in terms of dedication to Torah. This is paragraph Shin Hei. The next paragraph, 306, Shin Vov, is also a very awesome, unique type of item. Rav Nosson Zal says that there is a paragraph in the Sefer HaMidos which begins with the words, Da, you should know, Ki l'chol ha'olamos, u'l'chol nivra yesh koyma miyuchedes. There is a paragraph in Sefer HaMidos where Rabbeinu Zal presents an understanding about creation that I don't think a person will find in any other Sefer or in any other type of place. This is a short paragraph of about 6-7 lines. We'll read these 7 lines or so, and then we'll see exactly what Rav Nosson Zal says about this. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Ki l'chol ha'olamos u'l'chol nivra, yesh loy koyma miyuchedes u'binyan miyuchod. You should know that each and every single one of the worlds in creation, we know that Hashem didn't just create one world. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain that there are a few different worlds. There's the world of the Malachim, the world of the angels. There's the world of the throne of Hashem. There's the world of action, the Olam Ho'asiya that we live in today. And Rabbeinu Zal explains that each one of these worlds has its own unique structure. L'moshel, not only each one of the worlds, but also each and every single item that Hashem created has its own unique koima, its own structure. L'moshel, for example, min ho'aryeh, the species of lions, the animal, the lion, koimosoi nivdal mimin hatsoin. Its structure is very distinct, very different from the structure of a sheep. Hein bekoichoi, it has a different type of strength completely. If a person studies animals and you analyze the way the body of a lion is built and you watch a lion move, you watch the muscles rolling under the flesh, you see that it's incredibly different from the way another animal that also has bones and flesh and muscles, but completely different. V'chein b'binyan evorov, and so too in the way the animal is built. V'chein b'min ho'aryeh bi'atzmoy, v'chein b'koiloy, the type of sound that it makes. Try to compare the sound that a sheep makes to the sound that a lion makes. Picture a person who never saw any of these two, and suddenly he hears this one, and suddenly he hears that one, and then you would tell him, try to picture these two. Would you say that there's any similarity between them at all? And the person would say, what, are you crazy? They're as different as you could imagine any two things could possibly be. The roar of the lion and the bleeding sound of a sheep. V'chein b'min ho'aryeh bi'atzmoy. And so too, within the lions themselves, yesh hevdol bein kol echod v'yechod. Each and every single lion is different. We know, again, a person could visit a zoo and see how different a female lion looks from a male lion. Again, if a person didn't know better, you would think that these are two completely different animals, built differently, with one as a mane, one doesn't, and the way they behave, and even two male lions. There are times people that work with animals know that they don't behave the same way. You could have two animals of the same type and yet totally different personalities, totally different way of acting. You could have a lion that's trained for a circus, and you could see how that lion behaves a certain way, where somebody could go into a cage with the lion and train it to jump through fire and to do all kinds of things. And you get another lion that you wouldn't want to be within 10 miles of if the lion knew that you were anywhere near him. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'chein b'chol hanivroim ha'hevdelim, and so too among all of Hashem's creations, each and every single one of them is different. Hein kulam remuzim b'tmunas ha'oisiyos u'betzirufeyim. And you should know that each and every single item in creation, within the word that's used in the Torah to describe that item, for example, a lion is described by the word aryeh. Aryeh means a lion. Rabbeinu Zal says that everything about the lion is included in those four letters, aleph, resh, yud, hey. V'hazoicheh lehoven es ha-Torah, and a person who zoicheh to develop a real understanding of Torah, yuchal lehoven remizus kol ha-hevdelim shebein kol ha-nivroim. That person would be able to understand simply from the Torah. He would be able to know every single thing there is to know about a lion. If that person never saw a lion before in his life, if he understood the Torah properly, he would be able to know exactly, from the word aryeh, exactly what a lion looks like, how it behaves, what its nature is, what type of climate it lives in, and literally everything you could possibly want to know about it. V'gam yeda hisardusam. And the person would also be able to know how every single being in creation is connected together, where their connection is to their origin in Shamayim. Hainu reishisam v'tachlisam. How they all tie back together to some place in Shamayim where they were all originally created from one place, from one source. Each and every one of these different items in the Bria all originate from one beginning, from one place. And through the study of Torah, a person could be zecha to understand them all and understand how they tie, how they blend together to one origin. Ki bereshis uvetachlis heim biachtus b'li hevdel. Because in their origin, in their beginning, all the different animals and people and plants and all the different worlds are all tied into one. They're all connected to Hashem Echod, which means they all come from one place. And the Torah contains in it the wisdom to give a person an idea, an understanding of every single one of these, and to be able to tie them all back together to one. Rabbein Azal says in another place that this level of wisdom is something which if a person is zeicha to study the Torah on this level, such a person would not have to eat or drink or sleep at all. This depth of Torah, a person studying Torah with this kind of depth, is enough to nourish a person's body and neshama by itself. The person wouldn't need anything else other than this level of seichel. That's how deep it is, that's how special it is. So now Rav Nosson Zal says that this statement that Rabbeinu Zal made, nearly, shezehu inyan hasicha sheshamati mipiv hakodosh koidim Shabbos Chanukah tovkuf samachei. It seems that this ties in very well with what I heard from Rabbeinu Zal before Shabbos Chanukah of the year Tovkuf Samachei. Me'inyan habriyos shel olam, regarding all the different creations and regarding how all the different people, Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain that each and every single person looks physically different from somebody else. One is tall, one is short, skinny face, fat face, all the different differences that you find between them. And Rabbeinu Zal explained how in the word Adam, in those three letters, is included all the different physical, mental, spiritual images of people. Every single person that was ever created from the beginning of time till now, everything about them is included in the word Adam. When Hashem said the command Nase Adam, we know that how did Hashem create Adam Arishin? Hashem said the words Nase Adam, let us make man. And Hashem created Adam Arishin from saying that word. Adam was created. And we know that every single human being that came afterwards originated from Adam. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Kaviyochol, Hashem with his infinite wisdom included in those three letters of the word Adam the total makeup of every single human being that would ever be created. Billions of people from the beginning of time till now are all included in that word Adam. And Rabbeinu Zal says the same thing is true about the word Behema. In the word Behema is contained and included everything about all the thousands of different species of domesticated animals, cows, oxes, all the different, sheep, all of those. Same thing is in the word Chaya. In the word Chaya is included snakes, lions, tigers, reptiles, all the different things under that heading. A person studying that word alone deeply enough would be able to see how all of them are included in the word itself. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this at great length. And Rabbeinu Zal said, Sheyesh chochmois, there exist wisdoms in this world, afilu bozeh ha'olam, not in olam haba, there exist wisdoms in this world, sheyecholen lichyois bohem levad b'lishum achilo shtia, that a person could live off that wisdom alone and not have to eat or drink at all to survive. Because we know the Kohelet says, Shlomo HaMelech says, HaChochmah techaye bo'oleho. Chochmah gives life to a person. We study Torah, we study Chochmah on a baby level, so the Torah gives us a certain degree of chias. Tzadikim, like Rabbeinu Zal, could study Torah on such a level of depth where the Torah could provide every aspect of chias that a person would need to live on. He wouldn't have to come on to anything at all whatsoever besides it for chias. Kiyesh dvorim nifloim v'chochmois elyoinois v'noirois afilu bozeh ha'olam. Rabbeinu Zal said you should know that there are awesome things and very deep wisdoms in this world itself sheyecholim lichyois bohem levad b'li shum machilo shtia, which a person could live from those chochmois alone. And Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this at great length, v'lo zochinu l'koisvo, and we weren't zeicha to write it down. We weren't zeicha to write down everything that Rabbeinu Zal said about this. Which means, again, to a person who never heard such an item, a person sometimes wouldn't even begin to know what to daven for. When we say in Shmoneh Esrei, Choneinu me'itcho deo bina v'haskel, Hashem, give me sechel, some people think give me sechel means to know, when I go into the makolet, which kind of chocolate bar to buy. Should I buy this? Which one's going to taste better? Which one am I going to enjoy better? Or which apartment should I buy? Or all the different major decisions, the major chachmos that people think they would want to have in this world. Here, Rabbeinu Zal opens the door a little bit to give us an idea where his head was at, what Rabbeinu Zal's understanding of what kind of chochmos exist in this world and what the chochmas ha-Torah is about. Here, Rabbeinu Zal gives us a little idea that when these tzaddikim study Shas, when they learn Gemara, Mishneh Gemara, they're learning what we learn, what we understand, the basic halachos and the basic foundations of Yiddishkeit, but they penetrate deeper and deeper into the words of Torah and get to understand what each and every letter means. Why a certain word, why the word Adam is made up of three letters, not four. And how the word Adam comes from Adomo, and the word Adam comes from Adame lo Elyon, to be kaviyochel similar to Hashem, and all the different seirufiosis, all the different combinations of the letters, and the vowels, and the crowns on top of the letters, to understand the true deep wisdom of Torah. There is another paragraph in Sefer Amidos that follows this. This paragraph will begin now, in Yitz Hashem, and we'll continue it more in the next shir. The question is, fine, so there are these wisdoms. One person is more curious, one person is less curious. It sounds interesting. If I'm interested, I'll look into it. Rabbeinu Zal says in the next paragraph in Sefer Hamidos, in that section of Das, that you should know that lefi goydel yediyas ha-Torah v'tivei ha-olam, that according to how well a person gets to understand the Torah and gets to understand the knowledge of the world, gets to know about the animals and the plants and all the different things that exist in creation, kein nimsar v'neshtabed ha-olam tachtov. According to how well a person masters this knowledge to know about these things, all of those items become under his rule, under his authority, under his leadership. Ulefikach hayu nichnoim ha-aroyos tachas Doniel. This is the secret as to how the Torah tells us that we have tzaddikim, we have a tzaddik like Doniel, who was able to get lions to eat out of his hands. He was able to get lions to have hachno for him. How? What item in him gave him this authority over the lions? Rabbeinu Zal says, ki Doniel hayo chocham godol. Doniel was a very great Talmud Chacham. V'chol roz loyonis lei. It says it clearly in the Navi, that no secret of Torah was hidden from him. He studied the Gemara, he studied the Shulchan Aruch, he studied the Zohar HaKadosh, he studied the secrets of Torah also. V'ho yodea teva ho arye. And he knew the entire nature of a lion. V'hateva misneheges b'yediyas ha-Torah. And we know that nature, teva, is controlled by yediyas ha-Torah. That the more a person is zeicha to master knowledge of Torah, the more that person becomes a boss and a master over the teva, over the laws of nature. V'hi tachas yad ha-yediyo. And the teva is under the control and under the authority of Yediyah, which means we know the Rambam Zal once made a statement where he said, I believe it's the Rambam Zal who said, Ilu Yedativ Heisiv. If I would understand Hashem, I would be Hashem. And the Sforim HaKadoshim say that the more a person is zeicha to develop their brain, the more a person is zeicha to learn Torah deeply and to understand the true depth of Torah, the more that person becomes nichlal in Hashem. The person becomes literally kaviyochel a part of Hashem. to the extent where whatever Hashem can do, Lahavdil, these tzaddikim can also do. Why? Because through their yediyah, they're zeichet to such a level of yediyah satoira that brings them, that connects them so well with Hashem, it gives them the same mastery over the world, kavyochol, that Hashem has. And this item, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in one place, elaborates on beautifully. I hope we're going to take this up in Yitz Hashem in the next year to explain the power of a tzaddik, why we go to tzaddikim to ask them for tefillos, and literally the power that a tzaddik has to rule over the bria, over creation. Halavai, we should be zeicha to understand and appreciate the advice that Rabbeinu Zal gives us in his Sforim, and to be zeicha to daven to Hashem, that Hashem should guide us, to be able to know how to apply these things to ourselves, each and every one of us on our own level, especially this message of that we mentioned in the first paragraph, mehodgornet seton, for a person to know exactly what Hashem is looking for from us in terms of how to serve Hashem in a way that will give him nachas. And by serving Hashem, based on the advice of the tzaddikim amitim, we should be zeichah to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis mikdash merav yameinu, amen v'yameinu.